Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
Today on the show, we're talking about the devastating news out of Oshawa of the closure of the General Motors plant and the Ohio Heartbeat Bill, which should make every progressive in the United States and, frankly, here up in Canada as well, and anywhere where there's actually progressives rise up in outrage. But first, a couple of programming notes. Mike's off today. He's picking up his little daughter, Olivia, from daycare. So we just wanted to send him our love since Leanne was very broken that he couldn't join us today because we're such a team. It's like if you remove Chrissy from Three's Company.
I just don't like it when Mike's not here.
I know.
I feel out of balance because, let's face it, he's smarter than both of us.
Well, he's definitely smarter than me, but I still think you're smarter than both of us.
Well.
It goes without saying, really. It goes without saying so much that I needed to say it. Also, we're going to be changing things up a bit here on the pod. We're going to try and shorten these shows a bit. Leanne and Mike want to keep our conversations down and lessen my opportunities to rant. So we're going to try and keep these nice and tight and even. And part of that means only one story of the week, which is, I'm sure, a great relief for most. And because I decided, I get to pick the story this week. And plus a reminder, yes, it's going to be a good one. Plus a reminder that our last show of 2018 will be the mailbag show. So send in your questions and we will answer. You can send them to CDN Politique, PolitiQue @gmail.com or put them on the Facebook page. So let's talk about GM. So Monday, GM announced it was closing its manufacturing plant in Oshawa, effective December 2019. It's going to throw 2,500 Canadians out of work, screws the economy of the city, although not as much as when it was 40,000 people working at the GM plant, but still it's going to hit it pretty hard, and it's going to impact the Canadian economy right down the supply chain, suppliers, all sorts of other folks that depend on that plant in Oshawa. At the same time, they announced the closure of four plants in the United States, which will cost them 14,000 jobs. And again, a massively downstream impact on the supply chain and communities.
Well, we don't like it. I believe they'll be opening up something else. And I was very tough. I spoke with her when I heard they were closing. And I said, you know, this country's done a lot for General Motors. You better get back in there soon. That's Ohio. And you better get back in there soon. So we have a lot of pressure on them. You have senators. You have a lot of other people. A lot of pressure. They say the Chevy Cruze is not selling well. I say, well, then get a car that is selling well and put it back in. So I think you're going to see something else happen there, but I'm not happy about it. Their car is not selling well, so they'll put something else. I have no doubt that in a not too distant future, they'll put something else. They better put something else in.
Way too much talk over the last few days, and much of it is totally, and I repeat this, totally irresponsible. So let me explain to you where I'm focusing my attention. I'm going to be frank here. It doesn't matter what GM is saying. It doesn't matter what the union head is saying. It doesn't matter what the prime minister is saying. And it sure doesn't matter what the leader of the NDP is saying. If they want to do something constructive, I'm here, but right now, all they're doing is talking.
It's quite clear that the carbon tax is going to add the cost of production. We've been warning the government about that for some time. It is going to make it less competitive to make things in Canada. But there's absolutely no contradiction between saying that and saying that if a company wants to sell more efficient vehicles, that's fantastic. If they want to make electric vehicles that Canadians want to buy and want to drive, that's fantastic. But that doesn't mean in any way to suggest that it's easier for them to make those cars by having a carbon tax that they have to pay.
So what proof do you have that a carbon tax is a contributing factor? Because Ohio and Michigan are also having plant closures.
Look, what I'm suggesting is this is the point for calling for this emergency debate today so we can get it all out on the table. What
but
options have the government, are the government looking at to try to save these jobs? This announcement is only a few hours old. I don't want to give up the fight today. I'd like to ask government ministers that have the full resources of the federal government at their disposal, all kinds of policy options available to them. What is being contemplated? That's why we're asking for this. Obviously, there are a lot of factors that go into this. There's not one simple solution. The auto sector in the past has gone through tremendous challenges and tremendous disruptions. And I'm not suggesting there's one particular thing that would lead to a reversal on this decision, not one magic bullet. But I do believe that surely to goodness, if we collectively work together, we can find some type of policy solutions that will keep manufacturing jobs here in Canada.
Our government will always stand with our auto workers and do everything we can to support them in these difficult times. So obviously our hearts go out to the workers in the region affected, and we're going to be working with the government of Ontario to ensure that we're supporting those workers.
I've been here 28 years. I've been through a closure in Scarborough. I've been through a closure in London. I moved my family twice for this company, and they do this to me. It's terrible.
It'll be bad. Me, my brother, and my father work here, actually, so it'll be pretty horrible for the whole family.
It's fairly depressing coming in this morning, but yeah, it is what it is. We'll see what happens.
For this to happen is lunacy.
What's the mood of people? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Pissed off. Absolutely. You've got a lot of young people in here with families. Don't know what they're going to do now.
For them to come and pull this now, it's just an absolutely ruthless betrayal, and right before Christmas.
It's scary. I don't know where I'm going to go from here. We've been here 16 years. It's a good paying job. I don't know anything other than working here.
Well, feeling betrayed, disappointed. It seems unfair that everything that we've done over many, many years, productivity and quality, and we're always trying to meet their goals or corporate goals, and it just doesn't seem right that they're just telling us they're going to close this place down.
You all heard in the clip that Andrew Scheer blamed the Liberal carbon tax. Doug Ford said that politicians and unions are selling false hope by suggesting there's a way to keep the plant open. Trump bloviated as usual, and Trudeau committed, as did the premier, to working to support the workers who will soon find themselves out of a job. But probably the hardest thing about this, and we heard it on the clip, and forget the economic cost for a second, is the human toll, and this closure means a lot of hurt for a lot of families in Oshawa and Durham regions and other parts of Ontario as well. And to add insult to injury, right before Christmas. Hey, Leanne, you do PR. Yeah. Would you have recommended that GM announce this right before Santa's supposed to shove presents under the tree?
No, I would have said, hey, you've been there for decades. Can you maybe hold off till the beginning of the year?
Who runs their PR department? Like, who on earth thinks, you know, it's a great time to throw people out of work? Christmas. Yep, right up there. Right up there, you know, with the birth of Jesus, people losing their jobs. I don't know.
It's terrible because, you know, it doesn't just represent job losses, right? It's about history. Oshawa is a car community. They've been building cars has long been its lifeblood, and GM has been in that city for decades. So it's really sad. And in fact, in the conversation, they did a really great piece this week about how it is so much about so much more than job losses, right? It really can crush people's sense of identity and belonging. It can result in depression, failed marriages, drug abuse, and even suicide in one industry communities. Although Oshawa certainly isn't a one industry community anymore, but you know, it's still a really devastating blow to that town.
It's huge.
It's even in the Midwest where the manufacturing sector has kind of been wiped out and all those jobs are lost in the Midwest. Played a significant role in the opioid crisis in the Midwest. So it's a way bigger deal than just jobs. So, you know, I argue that I'm mad about a lot of things about it, but we're probably going to get into the bailout of what year was it?
Yeah, are going to talk about that.
2008,
2009, when Stephen Harper handed over in total, just the Ontario got the stats, to bail out Chrysler and General Motors, a combined total by the federal conservative government under Prime Minister Harper was $13.7 billion. Yeah. Did they attach did they attach strings to those billions of dollars?
That's what
of course
I don't get.
Not.
That's what
nothing.
I don't get.
Nothing. Nothing. And then they sold
the... GM makes $20 billion a year.
Well...
So I just don't understand why when you're giving these... doling out all this corporate welfare, which is what it is, why do you not leverage any... Like, why is there no conditions attached? Like, why?
Giving away free money. Too big to fail kind of thing, I guess. Yeah. So they actually have made... I think it says... I'm just looking here. The United Steelworkers of Canada, and this is in an article that was published. I believe this is the Globe and Mail or the Waterloo Record, one of the two. The United Steelworkers of Canada said the company's decision to shut down its Oshawa operations comes on the heels of the corporation's report of a $2.5 billion third quarter profit. Fantastic. Hey, Stephen Harper, thank you so much for bailing out the car industry and attaching absolutely no conditions so that they could turn on, they could take our money. Bail themselves out so they didn't fail, and then pack it up and move move these jobs down to Mexico or wherever they can pay slave labor or very low wages and not have to worry about the issues associated with their, I guess, their presence.
But I mean, it's not just a Stephen Harper thing. All governments do it. Governments have done it in the States.
I agree.
Look at all those bank bailouts, right? And then they... Bombardier, for God's sakes.
Well,
I think that ended up being under Trudeau, where we give them the big bailout and then they vote themselves these huge pay raises. Why does the government money for all the tax dollars that go towards this stuff, why do our federal and provincial politicians don't purchase any leverage?
The thing that,
like, okay,
but the thing that gets me
money.
Yeah. But the thing that gets
right?
me, Leanne,
so
is,
in return you've got to do this.
But look at Andrew Scheer. He blames Liberal carbon tax. The Liberal carbon tax, which has not even been implemented yet, has not even come into force, is responsible for GM. Well, that must be news to Ohio and Michigan that also lost four GM plants that was going to cost at least $14,000. This comes, they've shuttered the doors there. Comes on the tail of Trump's $1 trillion tax break for the wealthy and corporations that handed General Motors a $157 million windfall in 2018 alone, according to their earnings report. So it's the Liberals' fault, apparently, that jobs for their non-existent carbon, that jobs are being cut because of their non-existent carbon tax, not only here in Ontario, but also in the good old United States. But I mean, whose fault is it? Like, whose fault is this? Is it everybody's fault because governments didn't take seriously the possibility? Is it they didn't attach strings? Is it the fact that we didn't require them on that string comment to actually reorient the Oshawa plant to make electric vehicles? Or, you know,
well, that's the there
like, what is it?
Right there. That's the problem. That's a big part of the problem. So really the blame is GM's. But on the other hand, GM is acknowledging, you know, the industry is going in a totally different direction now. And what they're doing in Oshawa isn't what we need to be done. So, but I just feel that GM had much more of a moral obligation to those workers, especially after having taken that bailout. Like, I blame GM more than anybody.
I agree.
And apparently so do the Trump voters in the Trump voters in Ohio, who are very, very angry about what's happened. They are also having a plant shut down. And even though they voted overwhelmingly for Trump in 2016, they're madder at GM.
Yeah, well, they
Which
should be.
I suppose
be.
Is correct.
They should be, but they should also be mad at the fact that they were sold a bill of goods by Trump, who promised that there's going to be all this investment and that these tax cuts that he was going to cut, or these massive tax cuts and tax breaks for the wealthy, trickle down economics. The only thing that trickles down is piss, folks. Trillion-dollar tax breaks for the rich and big corporations don't trickle down to anybody but richer people.
They don't at all. All they do is vote themselves higher bonuses
That's
and higher
right.
compensation. It's unbelievable that nobody, that we're still buying into this trickle-down economics bullshit. It's never trickled down.
So
the rich get richer.
And the poor get blown off. But here's my question. There was actually an article in the Toronto Star this week, and it talked about, or I guess it was a column, not an article, but talked about whether or not we needed to nationalize the car industry and have our own car. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Volkswagen or Mercedes or, you know, Aston Martin, you know, there's Honda, Toyota, Kia, all around the world, there are countries that have their own cars. I mean, GM is a General Motors is an American car company. Where are the Canadian car companies? And, you know, it's very difficult for me to believe that we don't have the technology or the know-how to build a car that could blow all of those out of the way.
Of course we do, but we are extremely risk-averse in this country. We are the most risk-averse country in terms of research and development and training our employees for future, you know, disruptions than any other OECD country in the world. Plus, our corporations sit on the biggest cash reserves in the OECD countries. We are cheap and we are risk averse. It's a terrible, terrible combination. It's not just cars. How come we're one of the only countries that doesn't have its own Uber? Like, yeah. Even Lithuania has its own Uber.
Yeah.
We suck at this stuff. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about the Canadian psyche, why we're so frugal and why we're so risk averse, but we are. So it's not surprising to me that we don't have our own car. We don't have our own plenty of things. We buy the vast majority of products we buy are made elsewhere.
Well,
and the services that we use as well. So it's very odd to me. It always has been. And why corporations are expecting the government to train workers when they're sitting on these huge cash reserves, why they aren't doing more on apprenticeships and making sure that the kids that are coming through school now and going into universities are studying the things in which the labor shortages are. And there are all sorts of weird things that you wouldn't believe. There are labor shortages, like HR people, for example. There's a big shortage there. So we're bringing in skilled workers from other countries to do HR jobs. Like, there's all sorts of professions where we're not funneling our kids.
Nope, that's right.
So we fail. We just have failed on so many levels. And I hate to say it, and don't get mad at me, but please. But the whole world is moving away from fossil fuels, including China. And as you know, I know you're a Fort McMurray oil boy, but hello, the tsunami's coming and we're still trying to get pipelines built, but maybe we shouldn't get into that. I find as a nation, we are risk averse, we're cheap as hell, and we don't pay attention to the tsunamis heading right for us, which, I mean, the Canadian newspaper industry is a perfect example of that. Hello.
Oh, and speaking of which, Paul Godfrey got millions of dollars in bonuses this year. But really quick, before we go to the next topic, the Premier Ford said this week, and I got to give him huge credit here, because I thought his answer when they asked him, you know, what his feelings were, and he said something, you know, when it was first announced, that how sorry he was, obviously, that people were losing their job. But then he said something like, and I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, people say to me, oh, you must find this job so stressful. And he's like, no, you want to know what stress is? How about not knowing where your mortgage payment's going to come from if you're a mom or a dad and you got kids at home? That's stress. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it wasn't, you know, you can say a lot of things and, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like Premier Ford. You know what? That was exactly the right thing and the right tone to take, because a lot of politicians talk almost like, on the peripheries and, well, thoughts and prayers,
yeah,
that
they
kind
talk
of stuff.
And talking points. They don't address the real.
But the real issue is,
I'll give them credit too.
There's the real human toll here is what's going to hurt. And my heart breaks for them, honestly, but I'll tell you something. I don't want to hear any politician in this country that is supposedly progressive, whether it is liberal, NDP, green, or whatever, ever talk about corporate bailouts, corporate welfare, lower taxation rates for companies. They don't need it. As you said, they're sitting on massive cash reserves. They do not reinvest. They, generally speaking, pay off their executives or run out the stock, and they screw the worker. And so at some point, the idea of rampant free market capitalism, and I'm no communist by any stretch of the imagination, but it is ludicrous that on the one hand you want rampant free market capitalism, while at the same time handing out bailouts to corporations that turn around and pad their pocket with them, while putting other people, good people, out of work. It's
unbelievable. And I'm not a communist either, but it's disgusting to me. It is obscene to me that Canada's welfare state is disintegrating while our corporate welfare state has never been stronger.
That's
like
right.
Morneau just announced in the fall economic statement that corporations are going to receive $14 billion in new tax breaks. That's enough money to fund a national daycare program, right?
Yep, that's right.
Why are we doing it? I don't understand. And you don't have to be a communist to find it obscene. It's disgusting. We're all fed up. And yet dickheads like Trump get elected
Well, I have two last things to add here, comrade, before we shift topics. One, Jerry Diaz, who's the president of Unifor, which represents the workers in Oshawa, Ontario, St. Catharines, and Ingersoll. Those are at the GM plants. So there are still going to be two. You know, he was talking in 2009 when the Harper government lost billions on selling GM shares, billions. And they used those, they sold the remaining almost 74 million shares in GM for billions of a loss. They raised about $3.2 billion in the sale, but it basically fell short of the $4 billion that we gave them. Anyhow, Jerry Diaz had said at the time, it is remarkably short-sighted of the federal government to sell off its shares in GM at a time when there has been widespread agreement that securing GM's future in Canada is critical. And then it goes on to say, Unifor had been meeting with GM officials both in Detroit and the Canadian head office in Oshawa, to lobby for new investment in St. Catharines and Oshawa. General Motors of Canada announced earlier that year that the automaker and suppliers would invest $540 million at the plant in Ingersoll to make the next generation of the Chevrolet Equinox crossover utility vehicles. And then Diaz says the federal government is selling off its shares for short-term political gain as it prepares its last budget before the federal election. We need leaders with more vision, strategy, and savvy than this. At some point, very soon, the federal and provincial governments are going to have to take decisive action to secure the future of GM. Well, thanks a lot. I mean, I know it's not all Stephen Harper's fault, but and I hate it when any one side blames one person for something. This is a cumulative effect over decades of a number of governments. But if you look at the bailout of 2009, we had an opportunity, like Diaz says, to hold their feet to the fire, and here they've taken all of these profits and with no meaningful job guarantees. We gave them money, bailed them out, and now they've said, fuck you.
Welfare queens.
Yep.
They're welfare queens. That's all they are.
And then giant middle finger. You know what, GM?
Welfare queens.
The reason why people don't want to buy your cars, and I will never buy a GM car now, ever, but I will say that the reason why people don't want to buy your cars is they're pretty shitty. You know, people don't drive Buicks anymore. I'm sorry, let's be honest. You know, there's not a lot of people driving the Buick or the Impala or shit like that. Unless you're, you know.
I have a Dodge Caliber. I have a Dodge 2008 Dodge Caliber. Was that even GM? I don't know. What is Dodge? Chrysler?
Yeah, Chrysler.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm looking at JP. Is that Chrysler? He says, I think so. We may be totally wrong, folks.
And it grinds and lurches if you go over 100 kilometers an hour, like it's a piece of shit car, but I'm just going to drive it into the ground. But
well, let me just say
people buy Japanese and Korean cars.
That is a plea for sponsors because Leanne needs a new car. Okay. We're moving on from our Communist Manifesto to talk about something south of the border in the state of Ohio that should really terrify everybody. There's a bill before the state Senate that would make abortions punishable by death or life imprisonment.
I do not need anyone in this building telling me what to do with my body. And so it is really, really, really unsettling that we have an obsession with telling people what to do with their body.
And as you can see, motherhood isn't easy, but it's necessary. It's the reason that each and every single one of us are here today. It's the reason that each and every one of us have a loving, beating heart and opportunity to have this debate on this floor.
Whether you are the doctors who perform them or the woman who receives one, this comes after the Ohio House of Representatives passed a bill criminalizing abortion after 6 weeks. Right now, Ohio actually bans abortion after 20 weeks. The new bill is known as a personhood bill or the heartbeat bill because it would criminalize abortion after a heartbeat is detected, and it categorizes a fetus as an unborn human at the moment of conception. No exceptions, of course, to rape, incest, or if a mother's life is at risk. The Ohio House of Representatives passed the bill, so it sits right now in the state Senate. It was sponsored by a Republican state representative, Christina Hagan, who, while delivering her floor speech that you heard on the clip, made certain that her baby was in her arms as she talked about the importance of motherhood and beating hearts. Count me among those, though, that are lining up with Heidi Sike, I guess, of CEO of Vote Pro Choice and Democratic Ohio Democratic State Representative Stephanie House, who we also heard speaking first in the clip about basically get the hell out of my body. Don't tell me what to do. But here's a scary thing, folks. So the outgoing governor of Ohio, John Kasich, vetoed a similar bill in 2016. But then, of course, he signed anti-abortion legislation anyway. But still, he did veto a very similar bill than this. That being said, he's committed to vetoing this bill as well. And the Republicans at the State House, in the Senate and the House, they're confident they have the numbers to actually overturn any veto he may exercise. And the incoming Republican governor, Mike DeWine, has said that he would sign it if it crossed his desk. Other states have tried to enact bans on abortions at less than 20 weeks, but they've been blocked in federal court. And this is really important because this is where Supreme Court Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh come in, because as more and more
rapist
Brett Kavanaugh, as more and more severe
funded a few abortions in his day.
Well, we know Trump did. Wasn't the rumor that Trump actually had tried to get Marla to abort Tiffany? Maybe that's why he doesn't mention her. Maybe he thinks she did. As more and more severe restrictions, though, are being put on abortions in these red states, the likelihood of these cases being heard by the Supreme Court rise exponentially. And that gives conservatives what they always want, the chance to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I don't trust any of those old white guys, because that's all it is. Old white guys sitting on the Supreme Court, with the exception of Clarence Thomas. And they're just itching for the chance to overturn Roe v. Wade. So what do you think, Leanne? If we're going to outlaw abortion in Ohio, should we castrate the men? Because I know one thing, unplanned pregnancies.
It's not even outlawing abortion. How about calling for exterminating the woman who got pregnant?
Well, exactly.
Well, yesterday I bought a cute little red dress, and I realized as I was buying it, I might as well just get the whole headgear, and I should get like an actual cape to go with the red dress. Because we're heading into Handmaid's Tale fucking territory now. Actually, I don't think I'm not young enough to be a handmaid. I'd be the Mollies in the kitchen, or the woman
Marthas.
Working out in the nuclear.
The Marthas.
Yeah, right. I'd be a Martha, or else I'd be out in the field of plutonium digging up rocks. That would be me. But like, honestly, we're now talking about the death penalty for women who get abortions.
That's
right. Are you fucking serious right now?
Yes.
However, these same people, do you think they give a shit about the children who have been separated by their parents and placed in cages, or about the little kids who were tear gassed at the border the other day? Do they give a shit about those kids? They only care about the unborn fetus in the womb.
Forced pregnancy.
It's all about controlling women, right? It's all about controlling women, and women are sluts. Remember that case a few years ago where somebody was called a slut because she wanted Obamacare to pay for her
birth control. Yep.
So they cut back access to women's birth control. They want to defund Planned Parenthood, which actually provides women with a lot of free birth control. And they want to make it a death penalty offense if you get an abortion. So all it's about, they don't give a shit about children and babies. It's about controlling women, and it's about going back in time to the good old days in their mind where the man went out and earned a living, and the little lady stayed home and didn't get out of line and didn't, you know, just kept a hot dinner on the table and popped him out. That's what it's about.
Popped it in and popped it out. Well, let me just say,
that's right.
The right likes to always decry Democrats, and certainly you're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought up that point about during the Obama administration, how all these folks that with the Affordable Care Act, when it was passed, they didn't want to meet their obligations to provide contraception, birth control measures, you know, basically
only
those dirty whores would be taking them. But I found these stats that I thought were interesting. So in 2014, there were 638,169 legal abortions that were reported to the CDC. The Center for Disease Control. The abortion rate for 2015 was 11.8 abortions per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. And the abortion ratio was 188 abortions per 1,000 live births. Now, compared with 2014, this is important because remember, the Democrats are the ones apparently that want to vacuum kids out of the womb basically run abortions like they're going out of style. But under a Democratic president, the total number, rate, and ratio of reported abortions, it decreased in 2015 by 2% as compared to 2014. Additionally, from 06 to 2015, the number, rate and ratio of reported abortions decreased 24%, 26%, and 19% respectively. So in 2015, all three measures reached their lowest level through the entire period of analysis. So that's 2 years of Bush and 7 years of Obama. And most abortions, folks, they don't occur when the kid's got hair and ready to walk out of the womb. 91% were performed at less than 13 weeks gestation. And this bill, if it criminalizes abortion at 6 weeks, folks, most people don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. I mean, that's the reality.
Fully formed human being just gonna get sneezed right out and be taking tap dancing lessons immediately. For Mitch and Ashley in fucking Ohio.
Well, the incoming governor of Ohio says, and I'll quote him, "I will sign the bill. I believe that the essential function of government is to protect the most vulnerable members of society. That includes the unborn." Oh, yeah, except that apparently Mike DeWine stops at actually having to provide health care, a standard of living,
yes,
anything that would actually make that child better.
To actually living, breathing people who are struggling to make ends meet. Don't help those people, the woman that you forced not to have an abortion.
And then there's Brood Mayor Christina Hagen, the sponsors of this law. She says, yeah, moo. Yeah, okay, strap your baby
Brood
on.
Mayor.
Well, she is. I don't know. You know,
that's very funny. No, I like it.
Brood mare, milk good. Runner. I don't know, whatever you want to call her. Anyway, she says
a laying hen.
The old gray mare. She ain't what she used to be. Well, she says if a murder is occurring, then there has to be repercussion for that action. Fuck you, Christina Hagen. It's all nice and well for you to have your kid on your tit. You squirted her out your loins, but you got your kid on your tit. And you probably come from a very wealthy family if you see this woman, or at least she's got, a very good job. And I imagine her partner does as well. Not always the case with folks. And there are many. And the thing that's crazy about this is this bill wouldn't even allow not only rape or incest, but if a mother's life is at risk. Well,
the baby, the unborn soul is more important than the living, breathing soul who may have other children at home that are reliant upon her. It's the unborn baby that is more important.
That's right. Even if the kids can't, if the parents can barely put food on the table, because in the United States, there ain't no safety net for you. Yes, if they can't put food on the table, who the fuck cares if the kid starves, as long as we squirt another one out Broodmare Christina Hagen's loins. Anyhow, gross.
It's honestly insane. And if I just want to... These stories make me want to riot in the streets, or at least tackle her by
they
yelling,
should.
What about the children in the cages? How about the children being tear gassed? How about the children who are the children of opioid addicts? Because there's an epidemic right now. Why would you want to force an opioid addict to have a child?
Well, what I know is this.
What kind of life are you?
Every unplanned pregnancy is the fault of the man. Let's be clear. If a man would strap on a condom or quit firing in unprotected, women would not be getting pregnant. That is the reality. You want to talk about whose responsibility it is? Well, if you don't have birth control, then it's the man's, as far as I'm concerned.
Honestly, so rather than ordering the death penalty for the woman who has the abortion, it would make just as much sense to say that the man who got her pregnant should be castrated.
Yeah.
Public castration.
Yeah,
right?
And let's start...
That would make as much fucking sense as ordering the extermination of a woman who had an abortion.
Yeah.
It would make as much sense.
That's right. Mike DeWine, you're up first for mandatory vasectomy. Or castration, your choice,
castration.
But one or the other.
No, castration. In fact, I'm going to suggest that. I'm going to say, hey, okay, I'm all for the death penalties for the women who have abortions, as long as the guy who got her pregnant is publicly castrated, and we can all watch him bleed out. Because isn't that what we're doing? We're going back to the Middle Ages.
Yeah, of course we are. The only thing missing is we haven't, what are we going
to
start sewing a red A? No, a red A on the woman. You know, remember adulteress in the Scarlet Letter?
Yeah.
Now we'll just put an A for abortion. Anyway, 91% folks of abortions were performed at less than 13 weeks gestation. I'm going to leave with one quote and then we're going to stories of the week. This is from Heidi Syke. I can never pronounce their flipping names. CEO of Vote Pro Choice. Ohio just took us one step closer to becoming a forced birth nation. Legislators are banning abortion before a woman even knows she's pregnant. Yeah, and you know what, folks? Remember 2016, what Donald Trump said, women deserve to be punished for having abortions. That's what he said. And his friends in the states like Christina Hagen and the religious right, they want to force women to push their babies through regardless of the circumstances. So now, on a happy note, let's go to stories of the week. And we're going to start off with a clip that I think everyone's going to really enjoy, because we all remember how during the 2016 campaign and, of course, the 2015 Republican primaries, Donald Trump ran around the country screaming, lock her up, about Hillary Clinton's emails. Well, this week, and even the president's favorite pet daughter, Ivanka Trump, got caught for doing exactly the same thing. Let's roll the clip of Ivanka breathlessly defending herself.
All of my emails are stored and preserved. So they're really, there were no deletions. There is no attempt to hide. There's no equivalency to what my father spoken about.
But your father hammered Hillary Clinton on this, said that it was criminal, she should be locked up. How is it wrong for her and not for you?
Well, there was classified information. She had a server set up with the intent to keep those emails outside of a system that had been organized for the purpose. In my case, all of my emails are on the White House server. There's no intent to circumvent. And there were mass deletions after a subpoena was issued. My emails have not been deleted, nor was there anything of substance, nothing confidential that was within them. So there's no connection between the two things.
Okay, well, actually,
Ivanka, I just want to say that, Ivanka, you couldn't be more full of shit if you tried.
Nick Merrill, director of communications to Hillary Clinton, actually responded to this. He said he basically didn't want to have to. Oh, this is on Twitter, and Hillary actually retweeted this. So I'll run you through some facts before we discuss real quick here. Nick Merrill, director of communications to Hillary Clinton, pointed out, one, Ivanka happily clapped along and went to all the rallies where her dad was screaming about Hillary being locked up. She says that all her emails are part of the public record, wrong, because unlike Hillary Clinton's emails, you can't access White House emails under the Freedom of Information Act. All Hillary's emails related to issues to her role as Secretary of State and were emails with other employees. She did not attempt to hide her email, like Ivanka said. In fact, she emailed Democrats, Republicans, and others across government so everybody could see her personal email address. It only became an issue when the Republicans decided they were going to use it as political fodder. Ivanka then says that her own emails weren't classified. Well, she doesn't have any idea if that's true. She means they weren't marked as such. Well, neither were Hillary Clinton's. And Nick Merrill says classification is an art, not a science, and two people reading the same email might have different views on the same mundane detail. And then she said, Ivanka says in her breathless voice that Hillary broke the rules. Well, the State Department Inspector General, in fact, said directly about Hillary Clinton, laws and regulations did not prohibit employees from using their personal accounts. And in fact, it remains to be seen whether Ivanka has violated the Presidential Records Act. And just worth noting, folks, 2 years, millions of dollars, an investigation showed that Hillary Clinton did nothing wrong. Why don't you go and read her book that she wrote, What Happened? Read the chapter about email in her book, because it answers it all very, very complete and honestly. So what do you think? Should we lock up Ivanka?
Yes, I would love to see that. I'd love to see Ivanka in an orange jumpsuit made by slave labor.
Yeah,
like most of her clothes.
I was just going to say.
Did you notice how hoarse and raspy her voice is? Like, she always tried to do the Jackie O thing where she's talking very low and sexy, because that's how Daddy likes it, maybe. But this time, It seemed a bit hoarse, as though she'd been screaming her fucking face off. And don't you think that's what she had been doing? She's been screaming her fucking face off to Jared and to Daddy and possibly to John Kelly, who apparently they don't get along at all over this story, right? She was positively, her voice was ragged and hoarse, like she'd been at a rock concert screaming or at a sports event, right?
She is ragged and hoarse, generally speaking.
Right? She's freaking out right now.
She should.
Great, obviously. Yeah, no, she should. And I love that the Democrats now have control of Congress and they're going to investigate. You know, they're not getting away with any of this shit anymore. There's a new gang in town and they're challenging them on all their bullshit. And it's clearly driving Trump crazy. So, you know, suck it up, Ivanka.
Yeah, suck it up, Ivanka. What? And lose the fake voice. We all know you sound probably like Roseanne, okay? You're not sexy.
I wonder what the real voice is, actually, when she's not doing the Jackie O imitation that Daddy loves so much. I wonder what the real voice is, right?
I love that you keep making these. I love that you keep making these references to Trump's obsession with her.
Well, he is obsessed with her. He wants to bang his own daughter. It's gross.
Well, I think I've got Ivanka's. I think I know what her voice sounds like.
Yes, I think she's a shrieking harridan.
A shrieking harridan or a shrieking pig. Plastic surgery can do a lot. Now, next time, Ivanka, you go in, make sure that they do something about that voice box because you're starting to sound like you're falling into being a mute.
I can't.
She's also a pinhead.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know if you've noticed how tiny her head is compared to the rest of her body. Not that she can do anything about that. I don't want to make fun of anybody's physical appearance when there's nothing they can do about it. If it's unlike Trump with his hair, which he's choosing to do that. So I'm sorry, Ivanka, that you have a pinhead. But I will say that it might have something to do with the size of her brain, because that was really fucking stupid. You were at rallies joining in on the lock her up chant.
That's right.
The fact that Chelsea Clinton used to be one of your close friends and you were talking about, you were advocating your father calling for her mother's imprisonment for nothing.
That's right.
And now here you are. Anyway, I think we've ranted enough about Ivanka.
P-head Trump. Our time has drawn to a close. Folks, thanks for joining us this week. Leanne, any last words to impart on us?
I just said I miss Mike very much. Not that I don't love spending this quality time with you, Cameron, but like, Mike seems to
I'm like the bastard at the Christmas party here, the family Christmas party.
No, you're not.
It's true.
Not at all. But Mike is sort of like the voice of calm and reason where you and I are ranting and swearing and cursing.
Yes. Well,
right?
Mike, get the fuck back here then. Get the fuck back here. All right. Ciao, everybody.